Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, it's game day. You only got one job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts, and don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way, because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates. You keep your head high. And you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror. And that's one person you don't want to cheat. So now it's on you. It's your decision to make. You're going to hold back and leave a little something inside? Or you're going to do your job and leave nothing?
John Mark Wassell, Presidente. So glad that you guys could join us on March Madness and St. Patty's Day. I want to tell you what, guys, for you sports fans, it does not get any better than today. St. Patrick's Day, Irish pubs, NCAA basketball, green beer, really? Come on. Tell me, how does it get better? Oh, that's right. You're right here on The Balance on Saturday morning. My name's Tom Marquis. El Presidente, so glad that you guys could join us. Wow, I'm going to tell you what, yesterday was a bracket buster. That's right, for all you know-it-all bracket pickers, that's right, you guys are going to be doing nothing but picking your nose today. The rest of the bracket time. Amazing. Who would have thought Duke and Missouri going down on the same day? Boy, Norfolk State, they put on the glass slipper, and I'm here to tell you, it fits good. It's always good to see this time of year. It's always good to see see who it might be. You know, in my bracket, I must admit, I kind of screwed up on my upsets. I thought it would be kind of in the 8 and 9 seed. I kind of thought, well, we'd see how things would turn out there. But never in a million years did I predict what was going to happen yesterday. And I think most of us were that way. How did your bracket turn out? Obviously, we're going to talk about that in the show today in great depth with hopefully Jimmy the intern in the second hour, but definitely Axel will be joining us, and Ed Kratz from Calkins Media out in Philadelphia, both of which have balanced brackets. Do you have your balanced bracket? Well, it's too late now if you don't, but we've got a good turnout, and we're so glad that everybody had an opportunity to fill out a bracket. And there are some busters out there. So we'll get into my picks, and we'll get into how things are shaping up in the second hour. We got a great show planned for you today. It's St. Patrick's Day, and coming up here in just a few minutes, we've got the guys from RadioSpeedTalk.com. Pete LaFuchsia will be joining us as well with a very special guest. And coming up this weekend, well, actually today in Daytona, is the Daytona 200. And the AMA Superbikes are out there, and we have got a very special guest that's going to be joining us and talking with us about the AMA Superbikes in our racing section of the show. And coming up here at 9:30, Jay Graves, JayGravesReport.com. Holla at your boy. We'll be here with the hot joint of the week. We're going to talk some NBA, of course. Marching on into basketball and hoop talk, March Madness. In the second hour. And we've got your brackets. We're going to break down your brackets. Well, what's left of them. And we're going to really get more in more detail about that Norfolk State victory over Missouri, and Lehigh State over Duke. My goodness. I tell you what, they don't call it March Madness for nothing. So we're standing by for Pete LaFuchsia. Hopefully he'll be giving us a call here anytime, and then we've got a great special guest that's going to be joining us as well. What are some of your St. Patrick's Day traditions? We want to hear him. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Also, we've got IndyProSports.com that we have teamed up with. Guys, if you've not checked them out, I tell you what, they are growing in leaps and bounds. It's real easy to get to www.IndyProSports.com. Check them out. Guys, they want to hear your comments as well. And, of course, you can check us out online, www.TheBalance.com. Twitter, T Balance, Facebook, the Balance. Well, I tell you what, I'm curious to see, and I know we're going to get into much more of this. I just cannot get over what a great time that we're having here in March Madness here at the Balance Studios, and watching the brackets. And those of you that are in the Balance bracket know that you're getting regular updates from me via email, and of course you can go into our group there and trash talk and so forth as well. We're also on Manning Watch. Peyton Manning, where's he going to end up at? Of course, this week we know he spent some time in Tennessee. Yesterday he worked out for the Denver Broncos. A new team on the lurk? I've heard rumor to the fact that the San Francisco 49ers as well are taking a look at Peyton Manning. So, is it all about dollars and cents, or is it all about the post-retirement? Well, you know, we are on Peyton Watch, and we'll certainly get into that as we move forward toward that happening. And hopefully sooner than later, a lot of us think that will happen. Remember, you can follow us on www.TheBalanceOnline.com, Twitter, TBalance. Also follow Indy Pro Sports on Twitter, Pro Indy. Check them out, guys. We'll be right back, and hopefully we'll have Pete LaFuchsia on the air with us, and we've got a very special guest. We're going to be jumping right into the racing section of today's Balance. It's St. Paddy's Day. We're live, and we're so glad you could join us.
I'll tell you a story that happened to me. One day as I went down the yard by the sea, the sun it was bright, and the day it was warm. There's a quay point, wouldn't do me no harm. I went into the barman, I said, give me a stout. Said the barman, I'm sorry, all the beers are sold out. Try whiskey or vodka, 10 years in the wood. Says I'll try cider, I've heard that it's good. Oh never, oh never, oh never again. If I live to 100 or 110, then I fell to the ground and I couldn't get up. After drinking a pint of the Johnny Young Blood.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
You guys could join us here on St. Patrick's Day, March Madness Week. We are standing by for Pete LaFuchsia of RadioSpeedTalk.com. You know, it's been one of those Saturdays where you just kind of like get all engulfed in everything else and really pay no attention to the actual clock and the way things are supposed to be. You know what? I have to admit, I had that Saturday morning brain fart. I've had coffee, I've had breakfast, no hangover going on here or anything. It's just one of those things where, you know, I just thought, well, where is Pete LaFuchsia? Well, Pete LaFuchsia isn't supposed to call in till 9:30, but you know what? I started bugging him by text, and he's just a great sport about it. Thanks for joining us, Pete. How you doing, buddy? Are you with me?
Yeah, this isn't Pete. This is Scotty Van Hawk from Four.
Oh, Scotty.
Pete's one had me call in, though.
Yeah, it's all good, Scotty. You know what? It is good to have you with us, and we're waiting on Pete to join us. I tell you what, it's been one of those days and one of those mornings, and you absolutely are the guy that's on time today. I told Pete to call in at 9:30, and for some reason had you call in a little bit earlier. But that's okay. We're glad that you could join us St. Patrick's Day. Joining us is Scotty Van Hawk, owner of AMA Superbikes. And I'm going to tell you what, Scotty, you have a lot more balls than I do. There's no way.
That or a lack of restraint, or no better for my own well-being, I suppose. But, yeah, everybody's at Daytona right now racing, so the Daytona 200 is going to be ready to go on at 1 o'clock. We have our Scottish rider, Ben Young, who's just about ready to do his first race there. So it's a pretty exciting time.
Well, it's a good time for a good day for a Scottish rider to be doing his first race, huh?
Yeah, he's not quite Irish, but I confuse him quite a bit. But
close
but
enough.
Yeah, it's
right.
Good. You know, Daytona 200 is going on today. It used to be the biggest race in the Western Hemisphere. It's lost a little bit of its prestige. Now, the people, DMG is Daytona Motorsports Group. They're part of the France family, the NASCAR family, so they're trying to bring a little bit of the prestige back to the race and get a lot of fans in the stands, and they definitely put on a good show. So it's an exciting time.
Now, explain to us, we're here in Indianapolis, and obviously we have the MotoGP every year. Let me just get some differentiation, and maybe you can give us some expert advice. Is there any difference between the race there at Daytona and the MotoGP here in Indianapolis?
Yeah, the big difference is in the two. Actually, I have a lot of history with the MotoGP race there in Indianapolis. We are the only team to ever carry the famous Indianapolis Motor Speedway logo. In 2008, we promoted the MotoGP returning to Indy on our superbikes. So we have a very good relationship with those guys. You know, Mel Harder's instrumental in making sure all that happens. And you know, he's a big fan of motorcycle racing. The biggest difference between the two series is the fact that our machines are based on production bikes. So you could actually go out and buy a motorcycle that we base our race bikes off of, whereas in MotoGP, they're complete prototypes. So the big differences. I mean, they're a little bit faster. Daytona yesterday, our bikes are hitting 205 miles an hour. And MotoGP, they'll hit about they're getting close to 220, but they're a lot lighter, a little nimbler, and unfortunately an ungodly amount of more money.
So right.
The show is the same. The show in our series is a little deeper field. There's only nine factory bikes in MotoGP, so people complain a lot about it getting strung out and not being a close race to the end, where you don't have that in our series. Now, the MotoGP race at Indy, actually, I'm not sure if you're aware, but they brought one of the AMA races there last year, which was the Harley race. So that's certainly a different aspect. It's a 1200cc machine that's pretty much a spec machine, so the racing's always close, and people get a glimpse into our racing, even though there's a big difference between the Harleys, which do 130, and our superbikes, which do over 200. But that being said, those are the biggest differences mechanically between the two.
Right, and you guys do go some pretty fast laps. I know that you're, and correct me if I'm wrong, your biggest manufacturer is Yamaha and Suzuki. Do they, and Kawasaki, I think, also. But Yamaha being the biggest manufacturer, now, what's your preference, and who do you use with your particular team there?
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of players coming into fact. You know, BMW came on really strong 2 years ago. One of the things that, we're very proud of it, but it doesn't quite matter what manufacturer we're on. We have a history of making our machines go very fast, no matter what it is. They're all really close. They're all close enough where it's down to a rider preference and being able to get the most out of that bike for the particular rider, which is one thing we've excelled in. I got injured at Daytona, of all places, in 2009, so I'm healthy again now. But in my absence, we were able to put six different riders in the top 10, the two premier classes, on machines they'd never even seen. So, I finally had, Toyota's a big supporter of ours, and they were the first to point out, you have a skill set that you didn't really weren't aware of, don't you? I'm like, well, what's that? At that time, you can make anybody go fast. I'm like, well, not anybody. They have to have some talent, but yeah, I'm pretty good at getting it there. Lucas Oil stepped up pretty big, and they're also a wonderful partner of ours, and they're, of course, a very, very big name in Indianapolis sports. So we're very fortunate to have quality companies like that behind us.
Now, how many races do you race a year? Do you race on just pavement, or do you also race on dirt?
No, we just race pavement. We run the 2 to 4 mile road courses spread out all over the country from Daytona to California and everywhere in between. So they're just depending on which track it is, on top speeds and length of the straight. So Daytona, obviously, on the banking there, we're over 200 miles an hour there. Road America, the 4 mile road course there, is spectacular, nestled in the hills of southern Wisconsin, and there we have some incredible speeds as well. Mid-Ohio is the closest one to Indianapolis, and Mid-Ohio is a very old, very traditional track that does it, as far as when it was built back in the 50s, but, and there's an IRL race there, too, but that's my favorite track on the circuit. Well, now the VIR is gone, but unfortunately, track and I have a love-hate relationship. I love it, and it hates me. It tries to kill me every time I'm on it, I think.
Well, I tell you what a great track to race at up there in Daytona. The high banks with the bikes. Now, what kind of physics, talking about going back to high school physics, how much of a difficulty is that on the banks trying to curve around that? I'm basically laying down.
Well, that's, you talk about physics. Physics is actually my favorite subject. Before I started racing motorcycles, my degree is in mechanical engineering, so I just apply that to everything else. Our racing, motorcycle racing in general, it's all about trying to defy the laws of physics. The banking at Daytona, it's actually, you're tucked in tight as you can. Now, before they paved it, it was rough, and it bounced your helmet off of everything on there, and it was bouncing around everywhere. But the G's that you feel around the banking of Daytona are just incredible. It's like no other place in the world.
Well, Also joining us now, I do believe we do actually physically have Pete LaFuchsia with us. Pete, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Also joining us is Scotty Van Hock, owner of AMA Superbike, talking about the Daytona 200. And I know that, Pete, you're the racing expert of the show, and I'm going to put you in the driver's seat here and let you talk with Scotty and talk about some of the more detailed things that are going on out there in Daytona at the Daytona 200 today.
Well, I didn't catch all of what you've already asked him, but some of the stuff you can ask him, did he touch it all on how he's kind of got a protege that he took under his wing, and he's one of the youngest super or sport bike champions ever. Have you guys covered that one yet?
We haven't got to Palmer yet. You know, that's something that's very close and dear to me, as you well know. Palmer Kling is our youth program rider with Toyota and Lucas Oil's backing. We started an entire youth program. I've been working with him since he was 8 years old. He just turned 12 last month. He is the youngest ever AMA Grand National champion. So he went out there and stuck it to proteges and prodigies of everybody from, you know, 16, 18, 19-year-old kids. They're supposed to be the next, the second coming, and he spanked them all. So we're very proud of Palmer, and not only is he a spectacular racer and a wonderful kid, he's just all around. I mean, he's a straight-A student. He gives back to his community. His philanthropic activities are incredible. So, you know, we take a lot of pride in that.
Well, you said he won the championship as a young kid. What is I know the answer, but what, tell the listeners, what's some of the problems with him being so young and the upward movement that he would do with the AMA in racing?
Right. Well, you know, the way that racing, there's a big loop, you know, racing's all about rules and interpretation of them. There just happened to be a big loophole in the age restriction for the classes Palmer was racing in. So it took us 3 months of lobbying and making sure that they abided by the rules, and they ended up letting them ride. So one of the worst things they could have done for this competition is they wanted me to ride with him on the track so that they could make sure that he was ready. And what that turned into was me coaching him an entire day on a track that I've won many championships on, and it ended up making it even worse for his competition. He won by, you know, almost a full lap, which is unheard of. So, you know, Palmer, you know, our idea for him, you know, he can't get to the world stage until he's 16 years old. So we have 4 years of training for him to get him prepared, but we would really like to see, we'd really like to bring our sport up to what it needs to be here in the United States, and we'll work hard to make that happen. But when it comes to motorcycle racing, we talked about the MotoGP, that's the pinnacle of racing when it comes to Indianapolis. We want to get Palmer there. That's our goal. So, you know, we got a lot of work ahead of us, but he's a wonderful kid, and he's certainly dedicated to make it happen.
Is there anybody else in the Four Feather stable that is noteworthy to talk about that is moving up or has came through and helped in rides for you?
Yeah, there's actually, of all things, you know, if you go to the fourfeathersracing.com, you can see our supporters there. It's an old version of the site. There'll be a new site up very soon. But you can, I just tuned one of our Yamaha race bikes from 800 miles away right before I called in. I was actually a minute late, but I was tuning our R6 via phone and the internet. So that bike that I was tuning was one that's going to take place today in the Daytona 200. The rider's Ben Young. He's a 19-year-old Scottish kid by way of Canada. He's immigrated there 4 years ago, and he's also another young kid we like to see succeed. So, yeah, we seem to have a pattern of helping the kids that didn't actually have a chance. You know, it's probably me being a poor half-breed hillbilly raised by my Cherokee grandmother, so I have a soft spot for the kids, and I use all the information and knowledge I have to help the ones succeed that otherwise wouldn't have a chance.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with that at all, Scotty. I've got a little bit of that heritage in my background as well. And I tell you what, like I told you, it's an exciting time to watch these bikes come back out and to just to hit the track. And if you've never been to an AMA, or a MotoGP race, guys, I totally encourage you to do that. Now, Martin Cardenas is on the pole today. Let me ask you this, Scotty, how much of a challenge is he going to be for you guys this week? Obviously, he had some issues on the track on Friday, but he was clocking 115 to hit the pole this week, so obviously he's going to be a big contender for you to overcome this week.
Yeah, Yeah, we're realistic about all race ventures. You know, it's Ben's going to be his first. It'll be his first race. If we can get him in the top 10, we'll be very happy. I'll tell you a little bit. I'll tell you a thing about Martin Cardenas. Martin's a Colombian. He's been here racing for a few years. He was on the world stage. He is an absolutely tenacious, incredible, fierce competitor. So, you know, actually, if I had to hand it down, I would say he's going to win that championship. I wouldn't bet against him for anything. His team's Team Hammer. They are a multiple national endurance team champion. So, pretty much, the Daytona 200 is the only race we have that has pit stops. These guys are like clockwork. They do everything spectacularly. I wouldn't bet against them. But there's also something very interesting in the class. Tommy Hayden, because of the economic downturn, lost his superbike ride. Unfortunately, one of the Yamaha riders was injured this week, so they called Tommy up, who hasn't been on a 600. He's won 600 championships over the course of his long career. He's been at it for almost 20 years. Now he's back in the saddle at Daytona for 200 on a capable team, so I would look for him towards the end to coming up towards the front as well.
Pete?
One other thing that I'd like to say, knowing Scotty and all that, I asked him about the new teammate that's due to join the team on the 23rd. I don't know if you guys touched base about that, and that's why Scotty's not actually down at Daytona with him right now. Your wife is due with your son, your first son, correct?
Yeah, that's true, Pete, you know, on the 27th, so a week from Tuesday. My wife says she's a trooper. She asked me, you know, when racing starts going on Thursday, she's 9 months pregnant, you know, doing a week. She's like, sweetie, we can get in the RV and go down if you really want to go. You know, that's how great she is. So, but we don't want to be 20 hours away from our doctor. But yeah, no, you know, I have a little girl she'll be two next week. And so for her birthday, we got her a little brother. But yeah, no, as a family is absolutely the utmost importance to me, and I'm wonderfully blessed, and my family enjoys what we do. You know, we get to travel a lot, and they see a lot of things, and you know, they experience a lot of things. So yeah, no, it's an absolutely spectacular thing coming up. You know, we got a little boy coming. We're certainly blessed, one of each, and I don't care if they want to be ballet dancers. I don't, whatever it is, I'll support them in anything. And if it just so happens they want to race motorcycles, they'll certainly have that opportunity as well.
Well, real quickly, as we look at today's field, any X factors that are out there? I know one of the populars out there, and a guy that I was kind of watching over the weekend and stuff, is Corey West. He has a history there. Can you tell us a little bit about the field today and who you think might be kind of an X factor out there to make a good showing in today's Daytona 200?
Well, Corey's always there in the mix. There's been lots of his bikes are yellow and black, and there's been lots of yellow and black paint spread up and down my beautiful blue and orange bikes over the course of the years. So he's always in the mix for that, you know. And the Vester team, they're an endurance champion like us as well. You know, we have a national endurance championship, and that's what this race is. And nobody can count out last year's winner, Jason DeSalvo. You know, Jason's on a triumph this year. They have an entire tribute going to Gary Nixon, who lost his life last year over a battle with cancer, you know. And those guys, it'd be really neat to see that triumph's fast. It's hitting almost it's hitting 180 of the tri-oval. So if that thing will stay together, I think that they have every opportunity. You know, they won last year, every opportunity to win this year. Dark horse, you got Jake Zemke. You know, Jake's on a Ducati this year. Jake's a very good rider. He's been at this for a very, very long time. He's got a great history at Daytona. You know, that's the one thing about the new rules package that came together. You know, we can build, you know, on our small budget, we're able to build a competitive bike, and everyone else is too. So you're gonna have about a 10-way battle coming for the win of this race. So it's gonna be an exciting, exciting time.
Now with the new rules package, how would you say taking the mega teams like the ones that Michael Jordan owned and you? Are you guys now on an equal, or do they still have a little bit of an advantage with them having the overabundance of funds available?
Well, it's the only thing the funds – well, the rules package is so good now that, you know, before it was a money issue. Like Michael Jordan said, he said if he could make it, you know, he can't even buy. With all the funding in the world from Nike and Gatorade and everybody else, he couldn't even buy the parts to be competitive. Now with the new rules – everyone's bike. Everyone's got availability of the pieces. So now it comes down to the funding for the people with the knowledge to make it happen. You know, I'm fortunate that I've amassed an incredible amount of knowledge over almost two decades of racing, and that's why we've been able to put almost anybody in the top 10 if they got a little bit of talent. But that extra step comes down to budget. It comes down to budget and putting the right people in the right places. But the rules package is spectacular. The bikes hit 206 miles an hour this week, so that was actually Roger Lee Hayden on the Michael Jordan bike. The stuff's just moving forward. There's a little bit of the haves and the have-nots, but all in all, the racing package, the rules package is the absolute best it's ever been in my entire career.
All right, well, we've been joined by Scotty Van Hawk out there at, he's not out there today, he's getting ready to be a daddy, but at the Daytona 200. Real quickly, Scotty, where can people follow you and your racing team throughout the season?
Well, everybody can, of course, on Facebook, everybody can go to Scotty Van Hawk there. Same on Twitter, at Scotty Van Hawk. You can go to our website, which will be up and running very new as soon as possible. It's fourfeathersracing.com. We have wonderful supporters in Toyota and Lucas Oil, and we look forward to putting all of our young riders up front and doing what we can to do everything for the sport. So everybody get out to the Indy GP. It's the closest race to you. It's an absolute spectacular event, like everything that happens at IMS. And come over and see the AMA Superbike races at Mid-Ohio, another top-notch establishment. So we'll be there on the July 14th weekend. It's my birthday, so it'll be a good time to be out there. So
all right.
Everybody come out and check out the races. We appreciate it.
All right, Scotty, we appreciate you joining us. We'll be right back. We're backed up against the clock with Pete, and we got to talk a little bit about Bristol. But standing by also is Mr. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. Going to talk about the hot joint of the week. And coming up at hour number two, guys, we got March Madness. We'll be right back.
To take his wife to Dumpole to a bloody fine wake. For about 12 o'clock, and the beer it was high. The corpse, he sat up. And he says with a sigh, I can't get to heaven, they won't let me up, till I bring them a pint of the Johnny Jump Up. Oh never, oh never, oh never again, if I live to 100 or 110.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Two-wheel fury on Daytona's high banks returns March 17th for the 71st running of the Daytona 200. It's America's most historic motorcycle event, a racing triple header featuring the AMA Pro GoPro Daytona Sport Bike Daytona 200, AMA Pro National Guard Superbike, and ProMotorcycleSuperstore.com Super Sport Races. For tickets, call 1-800-PIT-SHOP or visit DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com. The Daytona 200.
The best hits, best hits, and the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, well, welcome back to the Balance, guys. We are backed up a little bit on time here. Joining us as well is Mr. Pete LaFuchsia, RadioSpeedTalk.com. We're going to talk a little NASCAR. Got Bristol weekend. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, it was a good conversation, but unfortunately, we're kind of split in time here. So glad that Pete, you worked out that interview. That's with Scotty Van Hawk, owner of AMA Superbike. Racing down there at Daytona, the Daytona 200. Also joining us and standing by is Mr. Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com. Standing by with a hot joint of the week, and we'll get to Jay in just a minute. But, Pete, what a great conversation that was with Scotty Van Hawk, and I want to thank you so much for working out that interview with us and a great opportunity to talk about the Daytona 200. But we do have another big race this weekend, a little-known race called Bristol.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about the F1 race in Austria.
Oh, that one, yeah, I totally forgot about that one. But it is St. Patrick's Day, and it is March Madness, and also standing by here with me is Mr. Jay Graves. Guys, let me ask you this. Did you guys' bracket get busted yesterday when Duke and Missouri went down? What about you, Jay?
Hey, man, everybody's bracket got busted. You know you're going to have some guy show up to work on Monday and say, I told you Lehigh was going to win. I told you Norfolk was going to win.
What about you, Pete? Did you do it
right? Lehigh and Norfolk sound like a junior high out of Gary, Indiana. It doesn't sound like a little college. Whenever you lose with a lower seed, the only people that go in and bragging are those guys that go in there and pick 16th and 15th seeds to go all the way. Like, yeah, look at the points now, boys. Yeah, that's what they do. But, we'll see how they're thinking later on in the week. But, yeah, it was going to happen. We obviously see them, but I don't put too much into it. You know what? I may have lost $5, but I'm also that idiot that goes with my heart every time. If Notre Dame's in it, I pick them to win the whole thing. So that's who I have to win the whole thing.
Oh, my God. Hey.
I tell you what, I have to admit though, guys, you know, because I'm the host and I organize this group, and you know, I talk basketball every week here, so I had to do something that nobody else did, and I didn't have Duke and I didn't have Missouri in the championship, so far I'm okay. However, I did have them both go into the Final Four, so I did kind of get a little bit of a bracket buster. We'll get into this in the second hour, but I have Michigan winning it all, Michigan State winning it all. So who knows what's to happen? Obviously, IU and Purdue prevailed, but the luck of the Irish was not with Notre Dame, and we'll get into that in the second hour. But we definitely want to jump right. We got a few minutes here, Pete, with you. We want to jump right into Bristol here, coming off of a great race out in Vegas. Your favorite driver, JJ, was right there in the mix as usual. Obviously, he's very optimistic about that final appeal as well. I want to talk with you a little bit about this race up in Bristol and just kind of group everything together. From the Sprint Cup race, the nationwide race, and if you've got anything to say about the truck race as well. And I think that's actually – is that in Martinsville today as well? I'm not sure.
That's not till next weekend.
Not till next weekend.
The 23rd is the next truck race. So,
okay.
Yeah, they had a long gap without racing.
Okay. Well, we got Bristol this weekend, and obviously it is one of the top races on the circuit. Everybody looks forward to Bristol. Bristol is one of the best tracks, got a lot of history, got a lot of tradition. You know, there's a few races every year you've got to pencil in. Obviously, the Brickyard, the Daytona, and Bristol being another one of those top races that you've got to watch every year. Because I'm going to tell you what, the big one happens at Talladega, and the big one happens at Bristol every single year. So let's talk about Bristol. What are some of the key components of this week's race, some of the X factors, and what's on your mind, Pete, for this race this weekend at Bristol?
Well, I think the big thing we're looking at is this is the first short track we're going to under the new electronic fuel injection, so it's going to be interesting to see how it works out there. After looking at the success last week of Hendricks, yes, they didn't win, but if you really want to look at it, who powers the Stuart Haas Racing. That's Hendricks. They took, what was it, four of the top five positions with Newman, Johnson, Stuart, and so on. That's just showing that right now they're starting to get back into a groove where they're going to start producing some really good products right there, and then we're going to kind of quit hearing so much about Ford. I think that's going to carry over into Bristol. The one thing we're going to want to look at, again, the electronic fuel injection. We've got some people that are going to be doing some really good racing there. Kenseth has got a really good track record there. Can't count out Kyle Busch. I mean, if there's anybody that practically owns that track that's still currently racing, it's got to be him. I mean, they used to say that Darrell Waltrip's motto was follow me in Tennessee. Well, you know what? They got to come up with something different because Kyle's going to end up taking that title away from him with the amount of wins and his dominance there in Bristol. And again, you talk about a great race. Bristol, both races they have there are great, but the night one in August is the one everybody wants to go to. This one is kind of a prelude so they can look at it, look at the data, so they can fine-tune it for the August night race. So that is, they're both great races. It's a great place. Not a bad seat in the house. You just can't ask for anything more. It's a great race. I would actually love to go see one sometime myself in person.
Now, Greg Biffle, one of the drivers I like to watch a lot, is off to a great start. Obviously got the pole down there in Bristol today, this weekend. So tell me a little bit about Greg Biffle. What's going on in his camp, and what does he got to do to win this race?
Well, he's just got to keep doing what he's doing. I mean, three races and an average finish of third, because he's finished third in all of them. He's currently first in points. I think the big thing right now, after listening to some of his interviews and some of the audio that they have available through NASCAR media, is his total disrespect that he's getting from the mainstream media. I didn't realize that when he finished third in Phoenix, he didn't get interviewed once at the end of the race. And then when they went to Las Vegas and he finishes third again, he gets interviewed, but only when he's standing next to Carl Edwards, his teammate, who didn't finish as well. And he's actually starting to call the press out and says, you know what, you got your darling 10, and I'm not part of that darling 10. So it's going to be interesting to see if he does well at this race, is he going to start getting the coverage that he kind of needs, or did he open up the Pandora's box and may have hurt some potential media exposure he would have got with, say, Speed or Fox or ESPN, or is it going to bring it to attention like, oh, we didn't realize we weren't doing that. So he's even though he's leading in points, got the pole, he's got a little bit of a grudge, a chip on his shoulder, say. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the media part of that for the whole weekend. But also having a chip on your shoulder, not necessarily a bad thing because it gives you a lot more motivation to do well.
Well, one person who isn't short in the media attention is Miss Danica Patrick. We can't go a week without talking about her. do I understand that she's got a St. Patrick's GoDaddy car going on today?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, what we're going to see this whole season is all the flash and flair, but none of the driving. I mean, she is a decent driver. She can wheel a car, but she's not the greatest driver out there. So obviously we're going to see the special paint schemes and all that. And since GoDaddy's throwing all this money at them, hey, they got money to change the car week in and week out. So that's going to be interesting to see how she does that. I don't remember when she was driving for IRL if she did well on smaller tracks. They obviously don't race in half miles in IRL. But when they did the mile and a half, refresh my memory, was her one win in Japan at a mile and a half, or was it a longer track?
I think it was a longer track, but I will double check on that
okay.
for you as well.
In other words, she may have some sort of dominance with that, but it'll be interesting to see, again, when she was doing the part-time the last 2 years, I don't think she hit Bristol or any of the smaller tracks, so it's going to be good to see what's going on there. Throwing it back to talk about the women in that league, this is going to be the one where we see Joanna Long drive the number 70 Biomed Chevy. for ML Motorsports. Watch her shine, because this girl cut her teeth in the short tracks of Florida, and she has won numerous times. She's the only female to win the Snowball Derby, and she won that like 2 years ago, and that was on a I think a half mile or a three quarter mile track. So this is going to be a race to watch her. They've got a really good car they're sending down there. So if there's anything that will help take away a little bit of the Danica thunder, it might be that. So that's a dark horse to watch her. I don't see that she can win, because let's be honest, this is Bristol. You've got Kyle. He's going to be driving. I see him taking the Nationwide for that one.
All right, Pete LaFusa, RadioSpeedTalk.com. Buddy, I appreciate you joining us today. I appreciate the hookup for Scotty Van Hawk. And, buddy, you have yourself a great St. Patrick's Day and the rest of...
Well, I am celebrating my 13th year in radio today, so...
All right. Well, we're so glad that you're with us, and we're so glad that you're a part of us. We'll be right back, guys. I apologize that we're backed up against the clock today, but we'll be right back with Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com, and we'll be talking some NBA and the hot joint of the week. Real quickly, Pete, where can people find your work?
RadioSpeedTalk.com. Got a great interview with the president of Daytona International Speedway, Joey Chitwood, talking about the Daytona 200 and recapping some of the other stuff that's went on in the past with them.
All right. Pete LaFusa of RadioSpeedTalk.com. All right, lads and lassies, we'll be right back right here on The Balance on St. Patrick's Day.
On Daytona's high banks, returns March 17th for the 71st running of the Daytona 200. It's America's most historic motorcycle event, a racing triple header featuring the AMA Pro GoPro Daytona Sport Bike Daytona 200, AMA Pro National Guard Superbike, and Pro Motorcycle Superstore.com Super Sport Races. For tickets, call 1-800-PIT-SHOP or visit DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com. The Daytona 200.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Well, welcome back to The Balance. So we were supposed to have NBA soundbite there, but I guess that didn't work. But we're here for a hot joint of the week.
I'll let you point.
All right, Mr. Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com. So glad that you could join us on St. Patrick's Day, March Madness. It doesn't really get any better than this for basketball, period, for the basketball fans. And obviously, before they could be in the NBA, they have to be in college. So it's always fun to watch the future NBA stars, or some of them anyway, during the month of March. Well, it's good to be back on normal schedule somewhat. Our interview this morning with Scotty Van Hawk took us a little off clock, but I appreciate your patience, Mr. Jay Graves. So the Pacers, let's talk a little bit about the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, they picked up a new guard in the free agency. Let's talk a little bit about the free agency and the trade deadline that just came and went with the NBA. Any key factors, X factors there? And we'll jump right into the hot tip of the week.
I've been watching so much college basketball and zoned in college basketball, I haven't even seen where the Indiana Pacers picked up anybody.
Yeah, they picked up the guard, and you know what? I rely on my expert guests who come on this show to be ready and prepared. And I didn't have my screen up or nothing. All right. Well, they did pick up a guard, and we'll talk about it next week, I guess, because we do want to make sure we get in the hot joint of the week. So, Mr. Jay Graves, Talk to me. What is the hot joint of the week?
Hot joint of the week, man, I did on Saturday evening for Sunday, and it's called Class. What Class? And it's basically talking about how I just hate this new NBA rule that came out in 2005 that says that a kid has to be 19 years old and a year removed from high school before he can go to the NBA. You know, before kids can go right to the league. But they made this new rule, and it's forcing kids to go to college that wouldn't normally be in college. So I did a joint called Class, What Class, about Anthony Davis from University of Kentucky. I mean, this kid was the number one player coming out of high school last year, and he's now listed as the number one player in college basketball. He's won all of the awards. He's probably going to win the Naismith and the Player of the Year award. So that means that he's more than likely going to be, if he's still alive in June and playing basketball, he'll be the number one pick in the draft. So what I said in this article was, if he were my child, these were the instructions that I would give him. First semester, son, what I need for you to do is go enroll in class, take all your classes, pass, fail. I need you to take an interview class, a public speaking class, and a personal finance class. Don't worry about getting a grade in those classes. Just take them pass, fail. Second semester, this is what I need for you to do. I need for you to enroll in class. Don't even worry about going to class. During the course of the day, what we're going to do for you is get you a nutritionist and a trainer so that you can work on your game, because your interview and your internship is the regular season and the NCAA tournament, because in June he's going to sign a 3-year, $10 million deal that is guaranteed. Once you sign the deal, doesn't matter if you get hurt 6 months after the deal, you get paid all of that money because it's the NBA. And so many people jumped on me. My Twitter page went crazy. I had Rex Chapman back and forth screaming, that's bad advice, why would you tell a kid that? And I always come back to the point, this kid wouldn't be in college if there wasn't a rule that said he had to go, a la Derrick Rose. So what you did with Derrick Rose was force him to cheat on the SAT so he could get in Memphis, get Memphis put on probation, and he had some girl, some friends doing his work the first semester anyway. He never went to class, never had no intentions of going to college. So why do you waste the scholarship on a kid that doesn't want to go to college anyway when you can give it to a kid that wants to go and get a degree in the first place?
Jay, I'm going to tell you what. I was not one of those Twitter haters. What I am going to tell you is quite simply this. That goes to the way society looks at our athletes. That goes to the way that society puts athletes up on a pedestal. As a father, I am so proud of you that you've become a great athlete. As a father, I am so proud of you because you now have earning power. As a father, hey, that's my boy. As a father, also, it is my responsibility to ensure that you get the best and the fullest of your education. I am your father, therefore I know more. The point being is this. I don't agree with the fact just go pass fail, it doesn't matter, just attend class because you're getting ready to go to the NBA anyway, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. There's a reason why there is college. Take a public speaking class. I agree with that. I'll give you that, because how many NBA rookies and so forth do not know how to give interviews? And that's really across the board, but especially in the NBA and the NFL. A lot of them still have, and again, I certainly don't mean this in a bad way or a derogatory way, but many of them come out of high school still speaking their street language. The NBA, the media doesn't want to hear that, okay? So the thing is, this, you've worked really, really hard to maintain your grades to get into school, to get into college. Even if you've got a college scholarship, you still have to have a certain GPA, okay? So the theory of telling your kid, It doesn't matter if you pass or fail. Just go to college because you're getting ready to go to the NBA and you're getting ready to be rolling in money. The thing is, that just contributes to the way that society looks at our athletes. Basically, it doesn't matter what you do in school. You don't have to excel in school if you're good in athletes, in athletics. Which, you know, I love that NCAA commercial where it says, you know, there's so many thousand.
You have to understand this. You have to understand this. This argument only applies to about 7 or 8 people in the world. Okay, it is a misnomer to tell everybody in the world that in order for you to become successful, you have to go to college. Not everybody is going to college. Not everybody needs to go to college. The only thing you need to do in this world is know how to read, write, and count. You know, there are a lot of people in the world that have talents that go beyond the scope of college. There are people that are barbers. There are people that are musicians. There are tennis players that never go to college. There are people that run track that never go to college. We are lying to kids when we tell them that everybody has to go to college in order to become successful. I have a college degree. My wife has a college degree. Both my parents have college degrees. But I have a college degree simply because between the ages of 18 and 22 years old, I didn't have an option to make millions of dollars. Because if I did have an option to make millions of dollars, I wouldn't have a college degree. You know, we can't lie to a kid that is a violinist that is playing in the high school right now, and every producer or conductor in the world shows up at the high school and looks at this kid and says, hey, you know what, Mr. Graves? This kid, when he graduates from high school, we're willing to pay him $10 million to play this doggone violin at the New York Symphony Orchestra. I would be lying to him as a father if I told him it would benefit him to go to college first and then go play that violin. Because if he does that, there's a potential that he could get hurt, tear his lip up, tear his arm up, or whatever, or there's the potential that somebody else will sign that deal. We have to be honest with kids and say, hey, if you want to go to college, that's fine, but what you do is make your money and you can go to college in the off season. School has always been here. So we are just, you know, everybody wants to say college, college, college because that's the right thing to do. But what if the kid is a barber and wants to go and become a barber and can make $10 million being a barber? Do I tell him that you need to go to college so you can be a barber? Do you realize that the average income in America is $29,000 a year? The average income for a person with a college degree is $53,000 a year. They won't make $1 million in their lifetime. And you're telling me that it makes sense for you to waste your time in school if you are the phenom, if you are Anthony Davis, which is going to be the number one pick in the draft? Did LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or any of those guys need to go to college? It would have been good to go, but did they need to go? And what difference does it make whether a kid speaks street language or not if he has the ability to take care of himself for the rest of his life?
Well, and like you said, Jay, the thing is, this only applies to a very small percentage of.
That's my argument completely. This doesn't apply to a kid that's playing at IU that is just a kid that's good enough to get a college education playing basketball. Doesn't apply to that guy. It only applies to about 7 people in the world every year. And if you are one of those people, then you are wasting your time sitting in the classroom when you can make hundreds of millions of dollars because you have been blessed to do something that not everybody else can do.
Let me ask you this, Jay. Because of the fact of what you say, that it's only such a small percentage, does not go to the original conversation that I was saying at the very beginning of this, and that is society puts way too much emphasis on a few people. We put – now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for great athletes. I'm all for them getting paid. I really, really, really am. But the point is, for this point of the conversation, what we're talking about – so, for example, and let's just use Kobe and LeBron. They were products of coming right out of high school that proved out to be two of the greatest NBA players of all time. Nobody's going to argue that with you. And nobody's going to argue the fact that they got paid. But Look at how much emphasis as a society we're putting on Kobe and LeBron. My point being is that it's such a small percentage that our youngsters are growing up and going into the classroom playing ball and saying, I'm going to be Kobe, I'm going to be LeBron. We're making them heroes and putting a lot of undue pressure on our kids. That's my point.
And that's why I say that this argument only applies to, because as a father, you know, I've got a kid that's in high school that's a baseball player. As a father, it is my responsibility to be able to see that this kid needs to go to school, needs to get a college education, et cetera. But if at the time my son is a senior in high school and every Major League Baseball scout in America is saying that he is going to be a first rounder when he graduated from high school, I would be lying to him if I told him that he needed to go to college as opposed to taking the opportunity to go play in the major league. Now, you have to tell kids when they're young that, hey, there's only a small percentage of people in the world that's going to be a professional athlete. There's only 350 jobs in the NBA. So, and there are millions of kids that are playing this game. So don't fool yourself into believing that you're going to be one of those. You can keep working hard, but you need to keep going to class. But if he gets to a point like this kid, Anthony Davis, which is the best player in America right now, the best player available for the draft, you'd be lying to yourself and everybody that's listening to this show if you think Anthony Davis or any other kid that's about to go to the league is in class right now. Because I can tell you this, every kid that's a first-round draft pick in the NFL for the draft next month, none of those kids are in class right now. They're out at a training facility somewhere in Florida, California, and Arizona training for the draft. Nobody's in class.
Now, Jay, also, and we're going to – they're joining us here for the next hour, but joining us is Axel and Ed Kratz of the Calkins Media. And now, Ed, I want you to jump in this conversation because I know that you do a lot of beat writing for the Philadelphia 76ers. You do a lot of NBA writing. And Jay Graves here, the jgravesreport.com, does a lot of freelance and stuff for the Indiana Pacers and the NBA around the NBA. What we're talking about, Ed, is a simple conversation on an article that on a blog that he wrote that he started getting a lot of, we call them hate Twitters here on the show. And so we're talking about the fact that a kid, Ed, who has a lot of potential in high school, and I know you've got a superstar wrestler for a son, for example, possibly a future football player or NFL player. Do you advise him, hey, go to college, pass or fail, it doesn't matter because you're going to be balling.
That's not the conversation. The conversation is we're talking about Anthony Davis from the University of Kentucky or someone like him, not just any kid. This argument only applies to about 7 people in the world per year. We're not talking about just a kid that's good enough to play sports. That kid needs to go to class. But Anthony Davis is wasting time in college right now. And the only reason that he's in college is because the NBA set the rule that you have to go to college for a year or you have to be 19 or a year removed. This argument does not apply to anyone else.
Go ahead, Ed.
I think it's a good point. I mean, that's the system that we have. It's the system that was put into place by the NBA. They're no longer allowed to come right from high school into the NBA. I don't necessarily agree with that. Evan who's making his point here?
No, it's Jay Graves. Jay Graves.
I'm sorry, Jay. Yeah, Jay makes a good point. I mean, these players should be allowed to start making a living as soon as they are able to make a living. But it is the system that we have. There are coaches like John Calipari at Kentucky who are willing to take these players on for one season to try to go out and win a championship. And then they probably don't go to class. And that's one thing that bothers me about college basketball is that system that's in play. These kids don't go to class. They have tutors that follow them around, that are supposed to follow them around to make sure they do their work. But how much of it actually gets done, who knows? I mean, Anthony Davis is a hired gun, let's face it. But that's the system that the Colleges are allowed to play by. Calipari isn't the only coach that takes advantage of that. There are other coaches out there that would be more than happy to take a player for 1 year, knowing that he's going to go right to the NBA. It's unfortunate, but you know what? It's the best weekend in sports, and you know we shouldn't allow that to ruin what's going on the court.
Well, absolutely, and that's certainly one of the great reasons we're having this conversation. But Jay, we're cut short on time. Jay, you're more than welcome to join us in the second hour when we jump into the March Madness and the bracket talk. Obviously, we're talking about Anthony Davis, and you're right, Jay. You know he's an exception to the rule. But my point being was just quite simply that as a society, we put too much emphasis on the LeBron James and the Anthony Davises and the Kobe Bryants that out there in the world. That our youngsters think that that's the level that we expect from them as a society, and that's not right. So any okay.
Hey, I threw that out there because it's a conversation that people need to have, and it's a good conversation. And at the end of the day, no kid should be promised an opportunity to play in the NBA, especially if they're 7th, 8th, 9th grade and they're not ready. Everybody needs to go to class and take care of their academics through high school. But if you are a phenom, then, you know, post high school in whatever it is you're doing, if you're an artist, if you're a singer, if you're, you know, a dancer, a runner, if you are what do we call a phenom, that's probably, you know, 6 or 7 of these people in the world, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by spending time in a college classroom.
Well, guys, I hate to cut this conversation short, but we have to. We'll be right back here because we're going to jump right into the best part of college basketball of the year. Jay, you going to stay around with us?
No, I've got to take off, man.
All right, buddy. Jay, real quickly, where can people find your work at?
You can catch up with me at thejgravesreport.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at jgravesreport. Holler at your boy.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. When we get back, guys, it is March Madness, and the bracket busters are already underway.
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Fury on Daytona's High Banks returns March 17th for the 71st running of the Daytona 200. It's America's most historic motorcycle event, a racing triple header featuring the AMA Pro GoPro Daytona Sport Bike Daytona 200, AMA Pro National Guard Superbike, and ProMotorcycleSuperstore.com Super Sport Races. For tickets, call 1-800-PIT-SHOP or visit DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com. The Daytona 200.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Again. The best hits, best hits, and the biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm
no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Welcome back to The Balance on St. Paddy's Day. Welcome back, lads and lassies. My name's Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. Well, guys, I'm going to tell you what. Could it have not been a better March Madness bracket buster than ever before? Guys, we want to hear about your brackets, 917-889-8516. And we got two guys joining us as well who are in the balance bracket. Axel Ed Kratz of Calkins Media out in Philadelphia, and Mr. Jimmy the intern. Jimmy, real quickly, how come we did not get your bracket in time? I mean, look at it like this. Look at it like a paper that's due at a certain time in college. You had to have it turned in by a certain time. It didn't happen. After all these weeks of building up to this, you did turn in your bracket. Evan did. Today, Evan goes to Chicago for the St. Paddy's Day parade, and you don't get your bracket in. I don't understand that.
Well, it was an interesting series of events, actually, Tom, because I know it was on ESPN. I tried registering, and I wasn't sure. I was pretty sure that I had submitted it. I guess that it didn't get through. Because I'm in a couple different pools on ESPN. I saw all of them sitting up there. I saw the balance. I saw a couple other ones. I was pretty sure I had it submitted. The fact that you're telling me this right now is actually the first time hearing of not having my bracket submitted. But I also look at it this way. This has probably been the worst year of bracket picking that I've had in the past five. And not since 2006 have I done such a poor job. I picked Virginia to go to the Elite Eight, for God's sake. I should be disqualified from bracket picking for the next couple of years. So maybe it's all for the best.
So all your buying and selling advice not to be, huh?
Well, I don't know what it is because I feel like I have a pretty good handle on all the teams, but I guess that just wasn't the case. Florida decided to actually show up that game, and I will redeem myself by saying that Lehigh was one of my that was one of the upsets that I was really mulling over. I thought they had a great chance against Duke. Way better a chance than people were giving them credit for. And to see them get that upset kind of makes me feel a little bit better about myself.
Well, I can tell you who doesn't feel good about themselves. You know what? They just set themselves up, guys, for the conversation that was going to happen on St. Patrick's Day. You're the Irish. You're in the big dance. We've got to say the luck of the Irish was not with the Irish this year, and we'll certainly get into all the big upsets as we go along. But let's just start here with introducing our panel of experts for our March Madness St. Paddy's Day balance. Axel, no stranger to the show, who does have his bracket turned in to the balance, and Ed, I don't know the name that you're under, but everybody's got a pen name, if you will, on our thing. So, Jimmy, maybe your thing is turned in, but I don't think that it is. And Ed, you're super panda or something.
Well, super. My PX Phantom is what I am.
That's what it is.
I hesitate to reveal that because it's down near the bottom of our list. In fact, Tom, welcome to the basement. That's where both of you and I reside this morning.
It is.
Tied for last. But you know what? I tell people this is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. It's not a race for the swift. You know, it's all about endurance and pacing yourself. And, you know, if you can weather this first weekend and keep some of those Sweet 16s in the hunt, then you have a chance. And all my Final Four is still alive, even after yesterday's bloodbath. So I'm happy to say I think I'm still in the hunt. You know, it's going to take a few miracles along the way, but I'm not giving up the ship yet.
Well, let's talk about some of the huge bracket busters from yesterday. We're going to start with the Norfolk State. Who are these guys? I thought it was just a Navy base. But Norfolk State and Missouri. I tell you what, a lot of people had Missouri in the Final Four to include President Obama. Not that that doesn't surprise me that he would pick the wrong team, but that's a different show, a different topic. But Chad, let's talk about where's your
Missouri. Hey, the thing about a lot of Big East teams and Big 12 teams, a lot of them forget to play defense. I mean, they are exceptional on offense, put up 70, 80 points. But like Butler showed the last 2 years, when you condense the clock and you play defense, I mean, of course, Norfolk State did not beat Missouri by playing defense. They just shot the lights out. But I'm just saying, in a sense, me and my friend have at work have had this conversation. A lot of these big teams, they just come off on a big victory or something like that, and they play each other, and a lot of these Big East teams, when they play each other more, their lack of defense doesn't get exposed, but when they play the good teams who can play defense, I mean, for example, a team like Murray State, you should see the defense that they play. And so when they play defense, and these Big East teams can get exposed, and that's why I like teams like those to go farther with good guard play, three-point shooting, and defense too. So I'm just kind of like basing it based on why Butler was able to make its run, and that Missouri didn't play good defense. I mean, I'm sorry, in regulation you give up close to 80 points, it's not good defense. And so you need to play good defense and guard the perimeter and rotate wonderfully, and unfortunately they did not do that. So
Axel, I cannot, or AKA Chad, I cannot help but hear. It sounds like you are stopped up. Are those antibiotics? I mean, you and I had lunch earlier this week, and you had the sniffles, and you said you were put on some antibiotics, and it was going away. Apparently, it's not, huh?
Nah, the congestion never goes away. It's the allergies, they still stick around.
Chad and I started our St. Patrick's Day a little early this week at the Clotta Irish Pub for lunch. I don't even know why I said that, Chad. Maybe I just wanted to push the Clotta Irish Pub. Maybe I wanted to say pub. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I just wanted to fit in something that you and I met at a pub for lunch. I don't know. We both went back to work. It was all good. So, all right, Ed. Let's break down this bracket. Why we've got this done. I want to break down each of the brackets. So we're going to start over there in the South, and obviously Kentucky over Western Kentucky. No really big surprises there. Iowa State over UConn, a little bit of a surprise there. And it's a lot of times that number 9 seed will overcome the number 8 seed. But I had Iowa in that. Any guys, did you have any thoughts on the Iowa-UConn game? That game kind of could have gone either way when you made your picks. So we'll start with you, Ed, on the Iowa State-UConn game.
Well, I just think UConn, I picked UConn. I thought that, you know, as a defending champion, having been, last year making a good run, I thought maybe they would at least put up a little bit of a better fight in the first round game. I didn't have them going past the next round, but I thought for sure they'd get past Iowa State being a defending champ. And, you know, they just came out flat. I know they missed, you know, Jim Calhoun missed some time on the sidelines to nurse a back injury. And, you know, maybe that lack of continuity through the season caught up with them.
All right, Jimmy, any thoughts on the Iowa State-UConn game?
I was less impressed with UConn than I was amazed that Iowa State got shafted to the degree that they did. They deserved better than an 8 seed, I thought. I thought Iowa State was going to be for sure a top 6 seed, just from how they played, the resume that they put together throughout the course of the season. I feel like the committee really did them and UConn a disservice because when I saw Iowa State on that 8-seed line across from a UConn team that's been ridiculously inconsistent all year, I mean, I didn't think it was much of a decision. I mean, the way that Iowa State matched up with UConn, they've been much more consistent throughout the season. They have some better wins. They've avoided the bad losses that UConn has. I mean, most of the people I talked to did pick UConn because of what I had talked about, the fact they're defending champs. Calhoun's back on the sideline. You don't want to pick against a combination like that. But I thought Iowa State was the better team, and it showed on the floor.
All right. Chad, do you have any thoughts real quickly on Iowa State or UConn?
Not much. Actually, I was just going to talk about the IU game.
Well, we are going to get to that. I promise you that is coming up because the next game in the bracket conversation here, and I want to start with Jimmy because Jimmy, you're the official correspondent for the Balance and numerous other radio shows across the Great Midwest here for Indiana University. You are the official press credential holder for IU, so you certainly. And what I want to know is, how come you're not in Portland today?
Well, Tom, I don't have unlimited funds, unfortunately. the plane tickets out to Portland, I was shocked at how expensive they were. I was looking online because I knew that driving out there wasn't going to be a particularly great option. It takes 3 days, and
you didn't want to take the ghetto cruiser out there.
I would have loved to. The fact is that I have to pay for my gas kind of tempered that a little bit. Right now that's the reason I'm not up in Portland. I've been telling people that if IU somehow manages to get past VCU today, you may very well see me in Atlanta though. I mean, I've been hitting the bushes, making funds, trying to figure out a way to put some money together, get to Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, I'll tell you what, if IU manages to get past VCU today, I think that'll be the case.
Well, there you go, guys. Future sponsors of the Balance. All the more reason so we can pay our interns. But isn't that kind of an oxymoron, an intern getting paid anyway? But Jimmy, the intern, doing a great job for us covering IU. Obviously, he covers IU for numerous other radio programs around the Midwest here as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about the VCU game, which is who Indiana faces next. The VCU Wichita State game. I had Wichita State. I kind of thought that would be a good game for Wichita State. I thought they were certainly a stronger team, but as we know from last year, guys, VCU is no joke. And Shaka Khan seems. Sorry, I had to go there, guys. I had to go there. I had to say Shaka Khan. Had to go there. I think we do have a caller. Who's this caller? Hi, who's this?
Hey, what's up, Thomas? $2 bill, Josh.
Oh, hey, $2 bill, Josh. We'll get to you in just a second. I didn't realize you were calling in today. But so let's start with you, Jimmy, on the IU VCU game. But let's look back at the VCU Wichita State game and how VCU even got to the point of playing IU and the IU recap game. So we'll kind of combine those two. So go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, it was all about defense for VCU, as it always is. This year's team is actually different, I would say, from last year's squad. Last year's team had a much better offensive presence throughout the regular season. Their defense wasn't to the level that we saw in the tournament. In the tournament, their defense picked up about to where it is now. Due to that, they were one of the better teams. They made it to the Final Four. Last year, they were a top 20 offense. They had shooters. They had players who could put the ball in the bucket, too, from close range. Joey Rodriguez, their 5'10 point guard, one of the leading assist men in the Colonial Athletic. And then Jamie Skeen in the front court, 16 points a game, shot 40% from three-point range, all that good stuff. But they didn't play defense as well. This year they've lost those guys, Rodriguez and Skeen, both to graduation, and their offense isn't quite where it was last year. They don't shoot it as well, only 33% from beyond the arc, 41% overall from the floor. So they're a bit offensively challenged. But, you know, it's all about the defense for them. They showed it against Wichita State. Garrett Stutz, their star big man, was held to 2 of 11 shooting, only 4 points from the floor, probably one of his worst games of the season. And VCU got past them on a the strength, all the turnovers they forced, the job they did there. They average 11 steals a game, which is absolutely obscene. And there's literally no better team in the country at forcing turnovers on a per-possession basis than VCU.
All right, we'll start next with Ed. Ed, what are your thoughts on IU-VCU and the VCU-Wichita State game?
Well, yeah, I had Wichita State also. Shame on me. I should have known better. VCU made the great run to the Final Four. I believe it was last year or 2 years ago. I don't recall. But I know this league they play in, the CAA. It's a very good league. George Mason made it to the Final Four out of this league a couple of years ago. VCU made it. And there was a lot of talk here in Philadelphia about Drexel being snubbed because they play in the same league. They had a 19-game winning streak, and they lost to VCU in their conference final. And Drexel just destroyed their opening round opponent in the NIT. So, you know, they're making a good case that Drexel probably should have been in there. And I wouldn't sleep on this VCU team. They look like probably the best, you know, the most well-conditioned team in the tournament. They press you, full court press you the whole game, very up-tempo, and Indiana needs to control the ball against their pressure defense. And they're going to have to rotate guys in and out because VCU goes deep and they go hard. They play fast. And they're in great shape. So it's going to be a big test for Indiana's backcourt to be able to take care of the ball, and then they're going to have to knock down shots. So that's my fault. I think it's a handful for Indiana.
All right, and I do believe. I think Indiana's the better team. I think they can beat VCU. We do want to move through these teams quite a bit, guys, because we want to get to all the brackets. So real quickly,
hey, I predicted VCU to take down IU, just letting you know. I am one of the few who predicted VCU to get past Wichita State and beat IU, because I do not believe IU's guard play is as good to sustain the pressure that VCU brings on. And he's not going to get 20 points with so many layups like he got against the Aggies. No flipping way.
No flipping way. Such language, yeah. Axel. Such language. All right. $2 bill, Josh. I know that you follow IU quite a bit as well. What are your thoughts on IU and VCU and the Wichita State VCU game?
I thought Wichita State should have beat VCU. VCU played a great game. I thought IU looked really good. I think IU's going to win today, and after Iowa State shocks Kentucky tonight, I think IU's got a chance to go to the Final Four.
Whoa! Well, we got another bold prediction of another huge upset. Now that, my friends, will be a huge bracket buster. If are you saying that Iowa State could beat Kentucky? Nothing surprises me this month, but wow, that's a huge, bold prediction. I don't think anybody in the nation has them picked. I obviously have Indiana and Kentucky meeting again for a rematch, and what a great rematch that will be. No other great surprises, although I do want to talk about over there, because it's St. Patrick's Day, it's Notre Dame, and I want to say the luck of the Irish was not with them last night with Xavier. I did pick Xavier to beat Notre Dame, so I'm good there as well. So let's start with you, Jimmy. Any surprises in the Notre Dame-Xavier game?
Not really. I'm with you, Tom. I picked Xavier to win that one. It was in doubt late, and there were people wondering about that lane violation call, wondering if that was the correct call to make. I think basically everyone I've heard talk about it has come down on the right side of the fence. If you go up to a cop after speeding and tell him that violation is rarely enforced and try to argue that he shouldn't give you a ticket, you're going to get looked at fine. So, people really don't need to pick up on that too much. Sue Holloway for Xavier did a good job, exactly what people thought he might do at the beginning of the tournament, which is take over a game, maybe two, and put Xavier on his back a little bit. He showed that against Notre Dame, scored 26 points, I believe, and gave them just about enough offense by himself to get it done there late.
Ed, do you have any comments on Notre Dame and Xavier?
Well, as far as that lane violation goes, I think we learned in the Syracuse-Asheville game that is, in fact, a lane violation. The guard that's lined up behind the foul shooter cannot break into the three-point arc until the ball hits the rim, and clearly the Notre Dame player did that. I give credit to the officials. You know, they take a lot of heat, but that was the correct call. You may not see it often. It may not happen in a regular season game, but it is against the law, and they called it, and it was a good call. And I have Xavier, Atlantic 10's near and dear to my heart. I covered that league years ago, and so I always pull for those teams. I was happy to see them win.
Well, and you know, certainly that does bring up to a conversation over in the East. We talk about and we look at University of North Carolina University of North Carolina Asheville and Syracuse. Really, guys, do you really think that was a huge controversial call? Let's get into that real quickly. I want to zip through these games. But, Jimmy, talking about controversial calls, that, in my opinion, was the wrong call. And do you think that cost University of North Carolina Asheville the game?
My game was poorly officiated all around, Tom. UNC Asheville had more than one call questionable in nature go against them. And I think that was another example. You're exactly right. There was a lot of officiating, especially in the first day, that just wasn't up to snuff. Second day, it was less of a problem, but still there. And to answer your question, I think, yeah, UNC Asheville might have been the biggest upset of all had they gotten a couple calls to go their way and, quite honestly, to go correctly.
Does anybody else have any thoughts on the Syracuse game? Axel or Josh?
Actually, if I could go ahead, Tom. It's not necessarily just dealing with the Syracuse game, but I want to see if anybody else agrees with me. Fans go to the arenas, especially in the Syracuse Asheville game and the Notre Dame Xavier game, but to see it decided on the floor and not by the jokes wearing stripes on their shirt. I've been a little disappointing that Notre Dame lost, and Asheville, I don't care what anybody says, the referees had a mission, and you could kind of tell to make sure Syracuse did not lose that game. That's exactly what they did.
Now, you know what, and we don't have time to really get into all these conspiracy theories, guys, but do we really believe that the refs and the networks are involved in this just so that we can have Syracuse in the championship game? I don't believe so. I think that it was a bad call. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It was a bad call. But this conspiracy theory that the refs and the networks are involved in some big theory, you know, we've heard about it in the NBA so that we could see Syracuse represented in the Final Four or the championship game. Let me ask you this, Ed. Ed, that's closer to your neck of the woods. You cover that a little bit more in detail because you're just closer to the action in that particular part of the conspiracy theory. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I don't. Look, I like to believe that it's all on the up and up. We had the rogue official in the NBA, Jerry Donaghy, a couple of years back, who's now in prison, who threw games, and I just don't think that happens. I just think the refs, they're human too. That call against that gave the ball to Syracuse in the final 40 seconds of the game that should have clearly gone to Asheville was the wrong call. The ref missed it. But those refs have a pretty good reputation, Ed Corbett and his crew. I think they just missed the call. And I think you're going to see now Syracuse is going to be watched here. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next game Syracuse has some calls go against them that maybe shouldn't. It's a tough game to officiate basketball, and I don't believe in conspiracies at all. Maybe there's a rogue official that, from time to time that crops up and then he's, caught. But I don't believe in it. I like to think that everything's on the up and up.
Actually, in the Missouri game, if you noticed, I didn't watch every bit of it, but I was listening to it on the radio while driving back home. Missouri, Norfolk State. I thought a lot of calls went against Norfolk State. There was a series of calls that went against Norfolk State, if I'm not mistaken, that the commentators were talking about, and their coach was livid about it as well. But Norfolk State persevered. I mean, that goes back to what Ed was talking. I mean, I don't think there's an explicit conspiracy theory, but when calls go against you, I mean, teams that do have strength and poise, they will persevere through it. So.
Well, guys, real quickly, one more game I want to talk about. Obviously, no big surprises in the Wisconsin game. Wisconsin is exactly where everybody thought they were going to be. No big surprises in the Gonzaga game either. But what a game that I think a lot of people are talking about and their eyes are on. A lot of people believe Gonzaga Bulldogs can beat the Ohio State Buckeyes. So we're going to start with you guys because we all cover a lot of the Big Ten. We're embedded with the Big Ten in our particular areas of media coverage. So let's talk about Ohio State. Ohio State has had a Big Ten presence all year long to get here. And we've seen it happen with Duke. We've seen it happen with Missouri. Could Gonzaga realistically be the next Cinderella to come out of that particular bracket there to beat Ohio State against their game, I believe, today at 2:45? Jimmy?
Tom, I think we've seen so far this year that any team with depth and athletes can beat Ohio State on the right day. Ohio State this year, they just don't have enough depth. They don't have enough scoring. They don't have enough experience, quite honestly, on the bench either. That's a less important issue for them. And really, when you look at it from a scoring perspective, points per game, they have Jared Sellinger, Deshaun Thomas, and William Buford, who all average at least 15 points a game. And all three of them need to hit that mark for Ohio State to be successful. They're a good defensive team. They do a good job there. Their athletes and bench players can play defense, but there are three guys they can count on to score points. I mentioned them before. Sellinger gets into foul trouble if Deshaun Thomas is having an off night, if William Buford's being guarded particularly tough. It's that much harder for Ohio State to win, and I think Gonzaga has depth. They have athletes. They have a decent chance to win this game. Ohio State plays their game. They're not going to lose to anybody in this tournament, but it's too hard for them to do that. Their game is built on too slim of a margin for error. And that's why I think it's really hard to pick Ohio State really to advance past any particular round, because you don't know what you're going to get on a game-to-game basis.
Okay, Ed, what are your thoughts on the Gonzaga-Ohio State game?
I think that was a great synopsis there. My thoughts would be that Ohio State lost to Michigan State in the Big Ten final, and maybe that gave them a little bit more focus, kind of gave them a tape to look at to kind of, maybe recharge themselves heading into the tournament. And I would be surprised if they lost to Gonzaga today. I love Aaron Kraft. I think he's just a very good player. He really controls the tempo for that team. And my thought is for them to win, he's going to have to play a big game.
I would totally agree, and I have Ohio State winning this as well. But that will be a huge bracket buster if that comes to reality that the Bulldogs do beat the Buckeyes. Axel, do you have any final thoughts on the Ohio State Gonzaga game?
The Kentucky team from last year was a pretty good offensive team, and Ohio State played them close, and it took last few second shot by the night guy to beat Ohio State. And I do believe that Ohio State condenses the game and plays good defense, and that's how their best chance to beat Gonzaga is going to be, just like they did with Kentucky. They can play good defense. I mean, I believe in the Ohio State defense more than I believe in their offense.
Well, I think Ohio State can do it. I've got them going to the Final Four with Syracuse out of that bracket and Syracuse being in my championship game as well. So let's move on over to the other side again, to the West out there. And let's talk a little – no big surprises with Michigan State. By the way, I've got them in the championship game and with Michigan State winning it all in the balance bracket as well. Now, another a good game that I thought was a very good game to watch throughout the weekend. And, yes, I have been working as well. You know, I just happen to have one of those. You know, one thing I'm disappointed in, I saw the boss button go away this year. Am I the only one that noticed that on CBS? If you happen to be at work and able to watch, you can hit the boss button and brings up these graphs, this Excel spreadsheet. Remember how they had that last year and the year before? Am I the only one?
They've got that this year. I was actually enamored with that.
Oh, maybe
I think it's on a different website. You have to go to NCAA.com and pay like $3.99 to watch all 67 games.
I'm not paying to goof off at work. I'm working, you know.
Maybe that $4 is going towards the boss button. Maybe it is.
I loved it. It was fantastic. Very, very clever. But anyway, one of the great games to watch this week was Memphis and St. Louis. I really had a fun time watching that game. So St. Louis came out on there. That's who I picked as well. Memphis, though, could have gone either way. So we'll start with you, Jimmy. Who'd you have, and what are your thoughts on Memphis St. Louis?
I thought Memphis had a great chance to win. I thought Memphis was actually underseeded, and I didn't think St. Louis was going to be able to pull out that game. But, you know, I guess Rick Majerus, all that experience coaching Ball State back in the day in March Madness must have paid off. Billikens got past Memphis. I thought that they were very disciplined. I thought they did a good job playing within themselves, forcing Memphis to make some mistakes, uncharacteristic mistakes of that Memphis team. And, you know, when everything was said and done, you know, St. Louis ended up moving on. I didn't think they were the better team, but they definitely played better against Memphis.
Ed?
I agree with Jimmy. I like Memphis to win that game. Thought they were underseeded. I picked them. But, again, St. Louis being an Atlantic 10 team, Rick Majerus being one of my favorite coaches, I've talked to him many times. You know, I love the guy. And you know, hats off to him winning, and they do it with defense. I mean, that St. Louis team plays defense. We talked about it earlier, how important it is in this tournament. They're a team that plays it along with Wisconsin, South Florida. You know, let's start looking at some of these defensive teams and giving them a chance here to maybe become a Cinderella like South Florida.
Absolutely, and I can tell you what, if they manage to win their next game tomorrow against Michigan State, they will become a real Cinderella team, and that is something that could happen, but let's hope not for my bracket, because that's a huge bracket buster as well. Well, moving on down that particular bracket, one of my favorite coaches as well out there in New Mexico, Steve Alford, one of my favorite guys. There's a few coaches that I follow, you know, from place to place, Bobby Knight, Steve Alford, and by association, Pat Knight. But always good to see Steve Alford. I love him. He's a great coach. New Mexico against Long Beach. I tell you what, though, that was another really good game, but obviously New Mexico came out. They're gonna be facing Louisville. And, guys, that's going to be one of the key games to watch tonight, New Mexico and Louisville. So, Jimmy, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on the path from New Mexico and Louisville in that game tonight?
Well, I don't think Louisville's all that good. I think I have New Mexico State beating Louisville in that game. The other thing, I'm not too sure about how good New Mexico State is. All those Mountain West teams have been a little
shaky. We're
talking
about New Mexico, not New Mexico.
That's what I meant, New Mexico.
Okay.
I've been talking about New Mexico State for the past 3 days.
Hard to bring a habit.
Association. But, for instance, in New Mexico's game against Long Beach, I thought that was a game that Long Beach had a great chance to win. Long Beach State played a ridiculous schedule. Now, in the non-conference earlier this year, they were tough. They almost won games against the absolute cream of the crop of college basketball. I don't have the schedule in front of me. You can look it up if you want to have nightmares tonight about how, you know, ridiculous your schedule was. I thought they had a great chance to beat New Mexico. Very nearly did. But picking New Mexico is more about the fact that I don't think Louisville's all that good, more than that I have a particular bit of emphasis and just disrespect for how New Mexico plays. I think they're a good team. I think they're better than Louisville, but I think both those teams are maybe a little I think they're maybe a little worse than their seed line would indicate.
All right, Ed, any thoughts on New Mexico and Louisville?
Well, I think, you know, Louisville being the Big East Conference champion, you know, sent them on a good run, sent them into the tournament on a positive note. And Rick Pitino's a heck of a coach. He knows how to get a team to the Final Four. So I would not pick against Louisville in that game.
All right. Well, I did. I picked New Mexico. Like I said, I like Steve Alford as well. All right, guys, I want to talk about this next game here because, hey, if you followed us here on The Balance and you've been listening to us all through last month of February, and me and Jimmy and Evan, as we break down every week our buy, sell, and trade, one horse I've been, no pun intended, but one horse I've been riding all year long is my Murray State Racers, and I love these guys. They are a personal favorite of mine, and not just because I didn't go to school there or anything. I don't really have a history there. I just have loved watching them throughout the year, and I'm a big college basketball fan, and I picked up on Murray a long time ago. Guys, Murray State wins, and Josh, I had to leave, but I know that there is a bet on the line with me and Josh about Murray State advancing. But Murray State, guys, one of my personal favorites, go up against Marquette this afternoon. Marquette is a tough team. Obviously, some IU ties there with Tom Crean and so forth. But Murray State Racers beat Marquette. That's my pick. I'm sticking to it, guys. We'll start with you, Jimmy. What are your thoughts about Murray State and Marquette?
I think they could. Marquette, to me, is one of the more impressive teams out of the Big East. If there's a team in that conference that I'm picking to go particularly far, it's them. It's them, not Syracuse. I think Syracuse is in a lot of trouble. Marquette, I think, is fortunate to be playing Murray State. I know you really like Murray State. I like what they've done so far this year. Isaiah Cannon's awesome. They've got a pretty solid team. I think Marquette's the better team. I'm probably going to have a hard time picking against Marquette. I have Marquette advancing past this game.
All right, Ed?
Well, you know, Murray State's a great story, Tom. But you know what? I'm looking to climb out of the basement in our tournament pool here that we're playing. And I have Marquette in the Final Four, so... You know,
all right.
I hate to leave you behind in the basement, but I'm pulling for Marquette.
I understand. I there's not been very many people that's been on board with me with the Murray State, but I've been wearing that Murray State I told you so badge all year long, guys, and here we are, and we're still talking about Murray State. So I wouldn't be so convinced that I'm going to stay in the basement there. All right. Axel, what are your thoughts on Murray State and Marquette?
Well, I'm on your side, Tom. I'm rooting for Murray State all the way to the Elite Eight versus Michigan State.
All right, guys, the last bracket in that kind of got thrown away yesterday with me anyway, Florida beating Virginia. I thought Virginia could beat Florida. And I think everybody in the world had Missouri to beat Norfolk, so no big surprises there. So the only one I've got left in that bottom part of the bracket is Murray State, and all I've got left in that bracket completely going all the way is Michigan State to my championship game, which is Michigan State and Syracuse and Michigan State to win it all. All right, guys, let's go over here to the Midwest bracket, and obviously we want to talk about Purdue. Purdue almost gave it away yesterday, and we'll get to them here in just a minute. But we'll start up here at the bracket. No big surprises with the University of North Carolina. I didn't think so as well. I thought that there were some things that we could probably talk about with that game. I had Alabama. Again, I thought that number 9 seed, you just never know what happens over there. But let's talk about that game, Creighton and Alabama. Creighton obviously advancing to play University of North Carolina. Either which way, I have University of North Carolina advancing past that game tomorrow. So, Jimmy, any thoughts on that game?
Creighton's good. Alabama's good. Creighton's good. I thought Alabama would win too, but I'm kind of excited to see Doug McDermott, Harrison Barnes, small forward matchup. It should be fun to watch. I mean, like you said, there wasn't anything really particularly surprising. You never know what's going to happen in that kind of game. So, you know, good job, Creighton. Way to get on to the next round. Now you face North Carolina. Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Ed, do you have anything on that game?
North Carolina is my national champ, Tom. They better win.
All right. Yes, they better. You're going to stay in the basement. Axel, anything on that game? Are you still with us, Axel? All right.
Well, yeah, I'm here. Okay. I'm here.
All right. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, North Carolina game? You're talking about North Carolina game?
We are.
Okay.
North Carolina, Creighton.
Creighton, I mean, SEC, I mean, has had a good showing recently. I mean, I thought Alabama would win. I mean, Vandy and Florida have come off blazing hot, and so has Kentucky. And so I was kind of surprised that Alabama, that was, I think they were leading for a lot of the game, and then Creighton pulled back. And so I was kind of surprised there. But I do think Creighton will give a good challenge to North Carolina. But I do love NC State, baby. I like the ACC there in that bracket. NC State versus North Carolina, Elite Eight.
All right, well, we got a couple more games to get to. I tell you what, this next bracket here, University of South Florida. I like these guys, and I did not expect that Ohio would the other Ohio would have beaten the Wolverines. Again, another huge upset, a number 13 seed beating a number 4 seed yesterday. By the time that came around, it was like, okay, no big surprise. Ta-da! So, you know, I had Michigan moving forward, so my bracket kind of got busted on that leg there. With the University of South Florida, they're a great great matchup. Jimmy, any thoughts on well USF and Ohio playing tomorrow?
Well, USF, I didn't pick going forward just based on principle. I thought it was stupid that they got in. I thought it was stupid that California got in. So I didn't even look at that matchup. I just picked Temple and hoped not to have to think about USF or California again. Obviously, that backfired. So now they're moving on to the next round. As for Ohio-Michigan, I actually did you may have seen on ESPN, Doug Gottlieb decided to pick all 13 seeds. That didn't end up working so well, but the Michigan-Ohio was actually based in fact instead of just him being a sovereign individual. Ohio does nothing better than guard the three-point arc. That's all Michigan's offense is based around. And I think the combination of those two things resulted in Ohio being able to do so well. We saw Michigan this year being capable of losing to any team that they've played, and I think Ohio was another good example of that. I picked Ohio moving forward, and that's another game that made me feel, you know, a little better about myself, a little better about my knowledge of college basketball. In this game, I think South Florida has an advantage, just because Ohio was such a specialist team against Michigan. They were fortunate in the matchup. I don't think they would have moved on aside from that game. South Florida is a lot more based on defense. It'll be a slugfest, but they don't rely on the three as much as Michigan did, and that takes away Ohio's main strength, which is defending the three-point arc.
All right, guys, in essence of time, I want to speed this up a little bit. Obviously, no big surprises there. What I thought, Georgetown, but North Carolina State, that was a surprise. I had San Diego winning there. I want to get into the Purdue game last night real quickly before we get into our Final Four and picks, and we've really got to speed this up. So, Jimmy, Purdue had a lead yesterday, but they let it slip away. A dangerous thing for Purdue to do, especially facing Kansas coming up. And, again, not outruling anything that's happened so far, so anything could happen, but Purdue has their work cut out for them tomorrow against Kansas. So we'll start with you, Jimmy, and, guys, let's kind of hurry it up so we can get into all of our Final Four picks.
It's going to be hard for them to beat Kansas. Kansas is really good. Purdue has been solid. I thought they'd beat St. Mary's. They did. I don't think they'll move past this point. They could, because Kansas can lose to a bunch of teams. I don't think they can match up with Tyshawn Taylor and Thomas Robinson.
All right, Ed, any thoughts on Purdue and Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas is not really being talked a whole lot about like they have been when they've been number one seeds and they've lost. So, you know, I think they're kind of under the radar. I think they win the game, but don't sleep on the Big Ten. I had them 5-1 yesterday. You know, look, Purdue can win that game. I wouldn't put it past them if they did.
Absolutely. Okay, Axel, any thoughts on Purdue, Kansas?
No,
I think Axel's being a dad. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm being a dad right now, so I'll take a few second break.
No, go right ahead, buddy. We understand. I tell you what, real quickly, give us your Final Four and your championship pick.
My Final Four, Florida State, North Carolina, Michigan State, and Kentucky, with Michigan State and Florida State in the final.
All right, Axel, we're going to let you go so that you can be a dad. That's more important, buddy. All right, we'll talk to you later. Always fun to have Axel on with us. And I tell you what, Axel is the king of multitasking as well. So, guys, the Final Four we got left here is me and you. Me and you, the listener. Me and Jimmy, the intern, and Ed breaking down our Final Four as well. Now, my Final Four, guys, I still got hope for Baylor. I like the Bears. They're and another one of my Cinderella teams that I see going to the Final Four every year. I like to try to pick one of those. I've got Baylor and Syracuse, Michigan State, and Kansas going to the Final Four. Michigan State and Syracuse win in the final game, and Michigan State winning it all. So, Jimmy, Final Four and championship game, and who do you have winning?
If my memory serves me correctly, I had Kentucky, Ohio State, Kansas, and North Carolina, I believe, is my fortune. No, North Carolina and Kansas were in the same region. So I don't have my bracket in front of me. It's the team on the bottom left side, the third overall number one seed. But I had two one seeds. I had Syracuse bowing out. But I had Ohio State and Kansas on one side of the bracket. And then on the other side, I had Kentucky and Michigan. I think it was Michigan State, actually. So, yeah, those are my four Final Four teams.
Okay. Are you sure about that now? Is
yeah,
that your final
yes.
answer?
I can, yes. I finally got my answer down.
All right. Ed, Final Four championship game and champion.
Well, I always like to pick from the so-called power conferences, so I have the Big Ten representative being Ohio State. I have the ACC being represented by North Carolina, and then in the SEC I have Kentucky, and out of the Big East I have Marquette. I have Kentucky Marquette playing in one semifinal, and I have Kentucky winning. In the other semi, Ohio State, North Carolina, I have North Carolina winning. So in the final game, North Carolina will beat Kentucky to win another championship for Roy Williams.
All right, guys, any predictions on bracket busters today or tomorrow?
I like Lehigh. I like Lehigh to beat Xavier. You know, C.J. McCollum, I love this time of year. You get to hear guys you never heard of. Lehigh being only a half hour from where I live, I know who C.J. McCollum is. They gave Michigan State a good game earlier this year, lost by 9, but had a lead in that game in the second half. I like Lehigh to beat Xavier, and I like Norfolk State to beat Florida. Just because it's St. Paddy's Day, Kyle O'Quinn, I'm not sure he's Irish, but, boy, what a great game he had for Norfolk State in the opener, 26 points and 14 rebounds. Kid I never heard of, and, you know, you got to give it to him. O'Quinn, St. Paddy's Day.
Absolutely. Well, another pool going on, completely separate than basketball. Peyton Manning, where does he end up at? We thought we had him down to Final Four teams. Obviously, Ed, you and I have been bouncing texts back and forth this week. Now I hear the 49ers are taking a peek at him. Real quickly, guys, who do you pick for Peyton Manning to end up at? My vote is Tennessee. It was Kansas City, but I've obviously changed that now to Tennessee. So, Ed, Peyton Manning vote.
Well, my original choice was Miami, but, you know, your Tennessee makes a lot of sense. He wants to stay in the AFC. It would bring him back to Indianapolis to play the Colts once a year. But the Niners are making a late push here, and, well, I'll tell you what a dangerous team the Niners would be. And I think, you know, if Peyton's looking to win a playoff game and win a Super Bowl, I think the Niners are his pick.
Jimmy?
I'd be scared to see him in Denver, and I'll go outside the box here because that's the only team no one's picked. Ed mentioned Miami. I'm going to say Denver. I'm going to say he goes to Denver. Does a good job there.
Well, guys, it's been a pleasure having you with us. Evan couldn't join us today. He's up in Chicago with his girlfriend at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Chicago. Oh, how sweet. you guys have any St. Patty's Day traditions? Ed, I know you were down there in Philly, big drinky town, big St. Patty's Day, a lot of functions going on. Anything you're doing today for St. Patty's Day?
Well, I kind of hate to, you know, be the party spoiler here, but I'm half Italian and half Polish, so, you know, St. Patty's Day is just March 17th to me, another day on the calendar.
I hear you. All right, Jimmy, college guy, we're going to assume that you're just going to be watching basketball and not partaking in any type of alcoholic beverages.
I got some corned beef and mashed potatoes lined up. That's about it for me, Tom.
Guys, I'm going to tell you what. You know what? There was a time in my life a few years ago where I would say I would be out at every tent party drinking every keg of green beer that I could get my hands on. But, you know, being married and living out in the suburbs, and I don't know, it just – it changes a man. It changes a man. And,
absolutely. I can attest to that, Tom.
Absolutely. So, you know, I love my life out here in the suburbs. So, you know, I got a meeting this afternoon with our partners over at IndyProSports.com. So I think it's just going to be very, very much mellow for me. So, but that's cool. I like that. All right, guys, real quickly, final thoughts, and where can people find your work and your masterpieces at?
Kratzky on Twitter, phillybirds.com, on the website where you can find my writing.
And Jimmy, what about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at JPCIV, just the letters at JPCIV. And I have a preview piece for IUVCU here today on the website, iusportcom.com.
All right, guys, it is St. Paddy's Day. If you're listening to this show and you are going to be out partaking in the elements and the green beer, have fun. But be safe, guys. Don't drink and drive. There's nothing more of a party pooper than going to jail on St. Paddy's Day. Guys, enjoy the basketball. Enjoy the brackets. We'll see you next week right here on The Balance.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.